that'll help us to be better people or to be better Christians or to get more done for God. And that's what I kind of want to talk to you about tonight. I'll bring you a little message tonight entitled, According to Order. In 1 Chronicles chapter 23 and verse 28, let's begin reading there. Because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord, in the courts and in the chambers and in the purifying of all holy things and the work of the service of the house of God, both for the showbread and for the fine flour for meat offering and for the unleavened cakes and for that which is baked in the pan and for that which is fried and for all manner of measure and size, and to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even, and to offer all burnt sacrifices unto the Lord in the Sabbaths, in the new moons, and on the set feast by number, according to the order commanded unto them continually before the Lord, and that they should keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the charge of the holy place, and the charge of the sons of Aaron, their brethren, and in the service of the house of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, help us now this evening. We ask for wisdom to preach and power to preach. Ask you to add your blessing, and may the Word of God tonight benefit us and be beneficial. May it help God's people to be more what we ought to be and get more accomplished for Thee. Somehow, Lord, in the midst of all that, I pray, get honor and glory for Thy name, for Thou art worthy. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, Ryan tells me all the time that I'm an excessive compulsive. And that's because if I walk by a thing and it's twisted or out of place or it's not even, like those pans down there right now just irritate me. One is way too far forward and one is way too close to the flour. See, they're not balanced. They're not orderly. And so when I walk by that, I'll just straighten that up and go on about my business. I walked by our entertainment center the other night. My wife has got way too much stuff on top of it. And there's little music boxes, things, and pictures and all that. But when she dusts them and she cleans them quarterly. And she plopped them back down there, and she's not a stickler for that. If this one can be 4 inches from the edge, and that one can be 8 inches from the edge, and this one will be turned at a 180-degree angle, and this one's turned at a 45, and doesn't bother her. It bothers me. And so when I walk by, I straighten them up. I don't make a big deal. I don't say anything. I just fix it. Amen. When I come home in the evening and finish dinner and do whatever chores I'm going to do, which is getting less and less as the years go by, I take my shower. When I go in to get undressed, I put my keys in the same place. I put my money in the same place. I put my wallet in the same place. I put my dirty clothes in the dirty clothes hamper. And I do it the same way every time. I never have to look for my keys or my wallet. I never have to look for any of my stuff because I put it up when I get through with it. I'm a very orderly person. I like everything that way. I like everything done orderly. When we have a linger longer, when we have a sweetheart banquet, when we have a singing, I've got all the details worked out way in advance. Nothing's going to happen that I'm not prepared for, that hasn't been looked at, hasn't been thought of way in advance. And that's when we have an event, they always go off like clockwork. That's because of prior planning and orderliness. It's the only way I know to get anything accomplished. Amen. Now, so why are you like that? Well, I was born that way. Two, that's the way God is. God is a God of order. Amen. And it's very important. Now, I don't think you have to be an excessive compulsive. And I don't see myself as that. But I do think it's necessary to do certain things orderly. That is, to do them the same way, time after time, to do them the same way every time, to keep from wasting time. Have you ever noticed, have you ever found, is it aggravating to you? You're talking to somebody or you're at somebody's house and say, let's go down to Dunkin' Donuts and get a, what's them things I like with the eclair. Let's go down and get an eclair and a cup of coffee. Okay, now where's my car keys? I had them things here a minute ago. and they're looking all over the place, and they're in the bedroom, and they're looking under, and they're in their coat pocket. They left them in the switch. They ain't got a clue where they're at. They get in the car, and they close the door, and it's, oh, my wallet. Sweetheart, have you seen my billfold? I just aggravates me to death. I don't want to go with you anymore. I mean, just. Y'all know where your stuff's at. There ought to be some order. There ought to be some system in our lives. Because if there's not, we just waste all manner of time. And when you waste time, you don't get anything done. Somebody said, by definition, to kill time means to murder it. Amen. You only have a certain amount, and God expects you to get something done in it. And so we have to have a certain amount of order. God is a God of order, and God required order in the lives and in the ministry of His people and of His priests. And that's what that passage is all about. Twice that word order is in there, and those guys each was assigned a job and a task in a certain place in the tabernacle or in the temple, and they were supposed to go at a certain time and do a certain thing on a certain day in a certain way, and it was supposed to take a certain amount of time, and that was necessary because when they got through, somebody else had something to do. And if you don't get yours done, they can't do theirs. You ever know a lot of things, you can't just do them. There are foundational things or preparational things that have to be done before some other things can be done. You can't paint your car if you don't first prime the metal. See? You go down to get your car painted. He's got to sand it and fix it and prime it, and then they paint it. If you put the paint on the bare metal or the unprimed metal or the unfinished metal, paint's going to come right back off. You can't build a house without first putting down a foundation. You don't go in and put in the roof trusses before you put in the floor joists. Now, I might, but Brother Tommy wouldn't do that. See? So sometimes certain things have to be done in a certain order, in a certain sequence, for everything to go off like it's supposed to and to get things done and done properly. And so, if you don't do yours on time, or if you take too long doing yours, you mess the guy up who follows you. We have a department in our company that installs new equipment. And all the time there are scheduling conflicts. Because somebody was supposed to have done something, and they don't have it done. The plumbers were supposed to run their stuff. The electricians were supposed to run their stuff. The light fixtures were supposed to be in. And now we've got to come in and run our duct work. And we get down there, and here the ceiling guy has already come in and put in the ceiling grid. And we don't have the duct work up there. And now we can't put it up there because there ain't no way to do it with all the ceiling stuff in the way. So all that's got to come back. If somebody had done it orderly, if they had done it sequentially, if they had done it on time, all those problems could have been eliminated. Now, I say all that because for this. In our lives, we run into exactly the same problem. Some people live their entire lives and it appears that they accomplished little or nothing. And most often the reason for that is not because they were lazy, not because they were stupid, not because they didn't care. because they didn't have any order in their life. They didn't have any system in their life. They just did whatever they felt like it, felt like, when they felt like it, if they felt like it, and if it was convenient, and if nothing else was in the way. It was just haphazard. It was just spontaneous. And when you do that, literally, honestly, nothing gets accomplished. Now, that's not the way God does business. He had that tabernacle built, and he had that priesthood, and he said, you're going to wear this kind of clothes? You're going to meet at this certain time? You're going to offer prayer here, and incense there, and a sin offering here, and a meal offering there, and a wave offering over here. And this guy's going to do this, and you're going to do this on the Sabbath day, and you're going to do this on the new moon, and you're going to do this on the feast day, and you're going to do this at the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Tabernacles and all. And everything was planned out and scheduled way in advance. And when it came time to do it, everybody knew what they were supposed to do. They knew where they were supposed to be. They knew how they were supposed to do it. And that thing just went off like clockwork. We went to Bill Gaither Jubilante a couple years ago. I'm not a big Bill Gaither fan, but we'd never been to one. My wife wanted to go. I took her. And a lot of reasons I don't like Bill Gaither, he's too much of a crossover artist for me. He blurs the line. I don't like that. And way too much contemporary. I don't like a lot of the singers and stuff he has. But I'll give the guy this. That thing was perfectly orchestrated. It was like a two-hour and a half program. And that thing went just one right after another, right on time. Everybody sang their allotted time. They finished up. The next act started. Nobody stumbled. Nobody faltered. I mean, that thing just went off like clockwork, just like NASA. Well, better than NASA. I appreciated that. Somebody can take an event that big with 30,000 people there and orchestrate that thing and coordinate that thing and get all those people working together and get them moving and get that thing done without hitches and without glitches. That's a pretty phenomenal accomplishment, in my opinion. That's the way God ordered the tabernacle. Day in and day out and day in and day out and day in and day out, that thing just clicked right along because there was an order to it. If you know anything about God, you know he's a God of order. Albert Einstein was a mathematician, and he said, I can't believe in a God who's not a God of mathematics, because mathematics is the most ordered and structured science there is. And quite truthfully, mathematics lays at the foundation of everything that there is. The universe exists because of mathematics. There has to be a precise distance and a precise weight and a precise rotation and a precise angle and a precise gravitational field between the earth and the sun to hold that thing in place. Change it 1 or 1.5% and we go spinning off into space. Move it the other direction and we spin off into the sun. You talk about perfect coordination and perfect balance. Everything that's required to keep this big old dirt ball in one place in relation to the sun, God has got it perfectly balanced. That's all mathematics. If you study the atom, you study math. That neutron and electron and proton and all them trons running around in there, they all have to be of a certain weight and a certain number, and they travel in a specified orbit, and if you force them out, the atom collapses or explodes or implodes. It's all math. It's all perfect. People talk about the randomness in creation. There isn't any. There isn't any. God's not a God of randomness, haphazardness. God is a God of order. And God wants you and I to live ordered lives. Now, so let me get to the point and point out a couple of things. Number one, people without ordered lives cannot be counted on. You can't depend on them. And so what are you talking about? Well, here's a guy that just does things haphazardly. Maybe he sets his clock tonight. Maybe he doesn't. I got a guy that shows up every day, 5 minutes late to 15 minutes late every day. So what are you going to, well, I wanted to fire him, but the guy I work for won't let me. See why? Because it's an attitude problem. If you can be 5 minutes late every day, you could be on time every day. It's an attitude. You know what it is? He don't care. He knows he can get away with it, so he's flaunting it. He wouldn't work for me. He'd be gone. He still works for me because I work for somebody else. Amen? People who are not orderly in their lives cannot be counted on. You don't know if they're going to show up or not. You don't know if they're going to be there or not. You don't know if they'll be equipped when they get there. You don't know if they'll be ready to do what they're supposed to do. Say, where were we at this morning? Well, I got up in plenty of time, but I couldn't find my keys. Yeah, but we had a thing to do this morning that had to be done at a certain time. And because you're 30 minutes late, you held up four other people. We couldn't go, we couldn't do, we couldn't get started because we're all sitting there waiting on you. And you can just follow that and multiply that in any innumerable number of ways. People who have no order in their lives cannot be counted on. If a person who has order in his life, has structure in his life, has certain things they believe, certain things they don't believe, certain things they're going to do, certain things they're not going to do, you can count on a person like that. Now, you may not agree with them. That's not the point. The point is that if they have the order and structure in their life, they will operate, they will function in a predictable manner. Amen? You take a fellow that you don't agree with, you can work with him if you can predict what he's going to do. I remember working for a fellow one time, and he was totally disordered, and you couldn't count on him, you couldn't depend on him, because one day he was everybody's buddy. And he was in a good mood, and you could do anything and get away with it. Tomorrow he'd come in, he'd be in a bad mood. If you looked wrong, you were in trouble. And then some days he had favorites. And he wouldn't let you do the thing, but because this was his buddy, he could get away with bloody murder. I hate that. Let's be the same every day, and let's treat everybody the same every day. Let's be predictable. You can have a philosophy different from mine. You can have convictions different from mine. But if we know what each one is and that they are going to do and they're going to go by what they believe and what they practice, and we can count on that, if there's that order and that structure, we can still get along. Amen? But if you don't know what the other guy's going to do, you're always ill at ease because you never know what's going to happen. Will they perform? Will they be here? Will they get it done? That's a miserable way to have to operate. God is opposed to that. People who cannot have ordered lives cannot be counted on. I'll tell you something else. Folks who do not have ordered lives accomplish little or nothing in their life. Because there's no order, there's no structure, so they're constantly beginning things and not finishing it. Amen? They say, oh, well, let's do this. And they start, and well, it's a little hard, or it's not what they thought it was going to be, and they're not excited. And so they stop that, and they're into something else. And here's a half-finished thing over here, and a half-finished thing over there, and a partly done thing over here. And in the end, say, what have they got done? What did they accomplish? I said, nothing. They just made a mess. They made a mess over here, they made a mess over here, they made a mess over there. And they spent their lives, and they've been busy as bees, and done nothing. I'd rather do just one or two things and get it done than to hit a lick over here and a lick over there. And people say, well, why didn't he finish that? What did he start that for? This wasn't done yet. Amen? Be better off to start less tasks and finish more of them. There ought to be some structure, some duty. Folks who don't have order lives can't be counted on, and they don't accomplish much. I did something else. Folks who do not have order lives often end up in trouble. So why is that? Well, because they're not where they're supposed to be. They're not with who they're supposed to be. They're supposed to have been with you to do this or that or the other thing. Oh, but they forgot that. They didn't write it down, they didn't note it in their head, or this sounded more exciting, so they just blew you off, you know. And they get all jammed up, and they say, oh, I got to pay a fine. I got a guy that comes in all the time, he said, I got to get off at 3 o'clock today. I said, why do you need to get off at 3 o'clock? I got to go down and pay my light, but I'm going to turn my lights off, say, from there. Why are they going to turn your lights off? I forgot to send a check in. I said, well, when you found it, why didn't you send it in? Well, we never did find it. I don't know where it's at. I said, you sure you wrote it? Well, my wife said she thinks she did. So he wants to mess up my schedule, take one of our trucks off the road a couple of hours early so he can go in and take care of his stupidity, because he didn't plan. He doesn't have any order. There's no structure. What's that little, you ever see the little sign that says, forget where it goes now. Stupidity on your part does not mean an emergency on my part, does not necessitate an emergency on my part. Just because you didn't lose your head doesn't mean I have to change my schedule to get along with you, see? And that's what, they ought to get ordered. They ought to have some system to them. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all not amen. You don't think this is Bible preaching. It's Bible preaching. Bible preaching. Now, people are always getting themselves in trouble. This doesn't get paid. That doesn't get paid. They're in a crisis over this. And say, why? Because they don't have any structure. They don't have any discipline. They don't have any order in their lives. Say, well, I just like to do things as they come up. Right. Just whatever pops up, you know, well, you never, I've heard people say, well, you never know what we're going to do. We just hit it on the fly. Yeah? Your house looks like it. Your employment record looks like it. Your bank account reflects it. They just do everything on by whim and by impulse. It's not a good way to live. That's not an orderly way to live. They say, well, if you do everything systematically and orderly, it's so boring. Well, I don't know. I don't find it so boring. I read a book one time. It was called The Glories of Orthodoxy. And orthodox just simply means the accepted position. And the guy was writing the book on the premise that it was a comfort and a blessing to take the things that were standard and generally accepted and fixed and firm and indisputable, and to hang on to those because they gave you a certain stability and purpose and organization. Amen? I read that little book. I thought, that's a real blessing. But what that translates into, if you follow the premise, is that the more ordered your life is, that's not boring, it's a blessing. I know every afternoon when it's 5 o'clock, I ring the phone, I pick up my cell phone, call home. I know every day my wife's going to be on the phone. She's very structured. I call at 5 o'clock, and I always have to let it ring and ring because she's talking to somebody. No, I'm teasing. I know this. When I call home every afternoon at 5 o'clock, I know she's in there cooking dinner. I know she's going to be at home. I know she has a meal planned. And I know that within just a few minutes after I walk through that door, she'll put my dinner on the table. I really appreciate that. You know, I never worry about whether my wife's going to be there or not. If something comes up out of the ordinary and she has to leave, I probably know it it's shortly after she does, so that I can make plans and adjust, so that there's some structure, there's some order, so that there's not chaos. I don't have to call home and call home and call home and say, and no answer and no answer and no answer. And finally, I get her at 6 o'clock and I say, where in the world are you at? Oh, I forgot to tell you, so-and-so called and we decided. Now, I'm here to tell you, it's not going to happen in my house very often. Just mark that down, okay? I'm not going to live like that. I want an ordered existence. I want to know what's going to happen. I want to know what's going to happen on a regular basis. I want to know what's going to happen all the time so I can relax and trust in the orderliness, trust in the discipline. I can give my mind to other things. I don't have to constantly be wondering what's going to happen or if it's going to happen. Now, second point, order is the key to accomplishment. You know what order does? It eliminates randomness. Now, the honest truth is, there's not a lot of randomness in the universe. They're getting more and more as time goes by, and that's the order of the universe is for it to collapse, but that's a whole different scientific and philosophical principle, and we won't deal with that. But there's not much disorder allowed in the universe. God's got everything balanced, got everything fixed. Everything works in unison with other things to maintain the system that God developed. And when that falls down, when that begins to decay, things don't get done. Order is the key to accomplishment. It eliminates randomness. Now, if you go out to Vegas or any place else that's got a poker machine, a few years ago, they had poker machines that had 3, 5, or 7 wheels on it. And there was a certain number of characters on each wheel. And so every time you pull that lever, there was one chance in 8,600 and something, just barely under 9,000. The odds on winning on an old-fashioned slot machine with the wheels in it was 1 in less than 9,000. That's still pretty lousy odds.
Amen.
Amen. I don't go for 50-50. You know, 25-75, that's me. I say, I'm not much of a gambler. I work way too hard for everything I ever had. So, but those old machines, 3 wheels, 5 wheels, or 7 wheels, you know, with the apples and the bananas and whatever, cherries, whatever it was on there, one chance out of 9,000 every time you pull the lever of winning. And if it happened to come up with 3 cherries and you win $20 or whatever the things were, it was just random luck. There was no predictability to it.
Amen.
Then they invented electronic poker machines. And you can play blackjack or 5-card stud or whatever it is now. And they are really random machines. The computer interrogates itself about once every billionth of a second or some incredible number that anything over a million don't make any sense to me anyway. And there's no deck of cards. There's no wheel with a set number. This thing just, out of thin air, plops down 3, 5, or 7 numbers. And the chances of winning are in the millions. And people go out there and play them things for hours. Just as a side note, got nothing to do with the message, but as a side, you know what the odds are in favor of the house when you play a poker machine? You got any idea? Those machines are programmed from the factory to take in 98% over the life of the machine. They let 2% win to keep the suckers coming. You play them, you're just dumber than a brick. Anyway, those things are random. And they're unpredictable. You never know what's going to come up. I cannot live my life that way. I don't think you can live your life that way and get anything done. We set our clock to get up at a certain time. We get up, my wife gets up, she does her thing, I get up, I do my thing, she goes to work, I go to work, I do my job, she does her job, she comes home, she's got things to do, I come home, I got things to do. It's a pretty structured life. So that's so boring. Well, I don't know if that's boring or not. It works well. And it gives me a certain tranquility and a certain peace of mind because I know how my life's going to go. I don't know about you, the older I get, those sudden upsets, those things that you weren't looking for, those things that blindside you, upset me a lot more now than they ever did. Amen. I need that structure, I need that order more than I've ever needed it before in my life. And if I have order, then I get something done, and if I don't have order, I don't get much done. Not only that, order directs your activity. I go to work in the morning, and I will look at my schedule. I'll find out all the stuff I've got to do tomorrow. and I'll make me a list. I got a little notepad, and I'll write down on there the things that I'm going to do today. And I put them in an order. I prioritize. This is the most important thing. This is the second most important thing. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go down that list. I am not going to item number two until item number one is done. As long as there's any possibility of getting item number one done, I'm not going to item two. I'm not going to say, well, I'm tired of messing with that. I don't feel like I'm going to put that off. Don't work that way. I've got a certain amount of work I've got to get accomplished. And if I'm going to get it done, I can't hit this one a lick and that one a lick and run over here and run over there. I got to get on one and get it done and get it taken care of, and it's out of the way and it's out of the picture, and I don't have to think about it anymore, and I go to item number two. I'm very organized. I'm very structured, and I get a lot done. And if you're not ordered, if you're not structured, you won't get much done, because you'll do what you feel like doing or what you don't feel like doing. Or, oh, that's too much trouble to go way over there. It's too much trouble to do that. Or it's too hot. I just don't feel like doing that today. And you fumble, and when the day is done, you've done nothing. And people do that, and they end their lives, and they've done nothing. Order directs your activity. You say, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I'm going to do this one first. And I get on that, and I get that done. And sometimes I understand you run into an obstacle that you can't overcome, and so you have to put that on. But you've done all you can, and it's out of the picture for the day. I'm going to set it aside, and I ain't looking at that no more. I am now totally focused on item number two. You ever hear people say, well, they can't get anything done because they got too many irons in the fire? That's the truth. You can do a lot of different things, but you can't do a lot of different things well. You can't do a lot of different things effectively. And you won't complete a lot of different things. Do less, do it better. Do less, finish it. If you would do that, you cannot believe how much you really can get accomplished if you finish one thing at a time. If there's a system, if there's order, if there's direction, if there's purpose in what you do, rather than just hit and miss. I guarantee you go to some of these big corporations, son, everything is ordered. Everything is in place. Now, the company Tommy works for, I don't know. Some of the stories he's told, man, Tyco? I don't know how ordered they are. But I bet if you got at the top and look down, there's a reason, rhyme and a reason why they do certain things. Now, down here in the middle, sometimes we don't see all that. Amen? I work for plenty of people, and they do things, and I can't figure out what they're doing. But they had a reason. It wasn't just sporadic. It wasn't just a momentary thing. They looked at it and said, we're going to take this company in this direction, and here's what we need to do. And down here, I might not see all the reasons for that, but somebody did. And you've got to live your life that way. You've got to get enough order in it and enough direction in it to get something done. Now, I may not see the way you're doing it. That's not important. As long as you have it and you see it and it works for you. But randomness doesn't work for anybody. Lack of discipline, lack of self-control doesn't work for anybody. I've been preaching for years at work. They say, well, we need a system for this. I said, okay, I'll give you a system. Because I'm a firm believer that any system invented by anybody will work. Any system invented by anybody to get anything done will work. It is never the fault of the system. It's the fault of the people in the system. No system, I don't care how good it is, how well it's laid out, how structured, no system will work if everybody doesn't use the same system. If I got one system, Brother Lewis got another system, Brother Tommy got another system, we're going to be butting heads. Amen? But if we had one system and we're all using it, it will work. Now, that doesn't mean the system can't be improved and made better. I understand that, but it'll work. But it won't work if I'm doing it one way, she's doing another. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about order. I'm talking about getting something done with your life. Whether it's in your domestic life or your personal life or your spiritual life, it doesn't make any difference. If you don't have some structure, you're not going to get it done. Which brings me to the next 3 points. Number one, we need order in our work life. Now, I'm not going to belabor that point because I've used that as an illustration all the way through the message. In order to get anything done and be productive and make money for my company and ensure that I'm going to be there next year, I got to get a certain amount accomplished. Amen. If I don't make money for the company, they'll be looking for somebody to take my place. Amen. And so we need order in our work life. Then secondly, we need order in our social life. There are just some things that as a human being, I'm not going to do. And there are some things as a Christian, I'm not going to do. There are some places I'm not going. There's some things I'm not going to do. And there's some folks I'm not going to hang with. By the grace of God, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to maintain a Christian testimony. And when I check out of this old world in about another 35 or 40 years, when God takes me home to glory, I want to still be in the fight. I want to still be serving God. And in order to do that, I got to have some order. That is, I got to have some discipline. So I've got my mind made up. There are just some places I'm not going. There are some things I'm not going to do. There are some people I'm not going to be with because I'm not going to get sidetracked. I am not going to get derailed. I got a focus. I got a goal. I've got a purpose. I'm going someplace. And if you get in my way of getting there, I got on blinders. And every Christian needs that kind of a discipline in their life. If you're going to get anything done on the job, you got to get focused. If you're going to do anything in your social life, anything that would deter you from accomplishing what you want to get done in your life, you've got to force that out. You've got to get focused on where you want to go and get some order if you're ever going to get there. I remember years ago, I had an uncle, and his name was Barry. My aunt, Frances, didn't like Barry's name, but he was a nice old fella, but he did some weird stuff from time to time. He had a little 1951 Studebaker, one of the ugliest cars ever made. They had about a 40 horsepower, six-cylinder flathead engine in them, you know, and they were geared to go about 60 miles an hour. But Uncle Barry was a bald-headed fella, always wore a hat. Nice guy. And him and Aunt Frances had been off someplace in their little Studebaker, and they were way, way from home, and they were headed back home. And Uncle Barry didn't have a map or anything, and they're going down the road, and there's a truck in front of him. And he's following his truck, and his truck takes his turn and goes off, and he turns and goes with it. And they're off of the main road, and they're out in the boondocks, and they're riding around for an hour or so, and this truck's made two or three turns. Uncle Barry's right on the tail. Where the truck went? He went with him. And after a while, Aunt Frances said, "Barry, so where are we at?" He said, "Well, I don't exactly know." She said, "Well, where are you going?" He said, "Well, I'm going back up to Bessemer City. I said, we're going home." She said, "Well, how are you getting there?" He said, "Well, I'm following that truck." She said, "Well, how do you know that truck's going to Bessemer City?" He said, "He's got a little tag back there that says Bessemer City right on the back of it." He had found a truck that had a little tag, one of them little things about this big, that said Bessemer City. So he just assumed that's where that guy was going. And he's just going with him. Now, you just can't do that. You just can't operate like that. She used to tell that story, and he'd get so embarrassed. We need order in our work life. We need order in our social life. We need order in our domestic life. We need to clearly define the roles of the husband and wife and what each one's going to do and those kind of things. How in the world are you going to run home and raise kids and all that stuff and mom and daddy running around hollering at each other? "That's not my job. You're supposed to do that." Well, I thought, ladies and gentlemen, I'm honest before God, there ought to be as much structure and discipline in your personal life as there is in your work life. Amen? I've been married for 106 years. Forever. Ever since I was 40. I've been married a long 44 years this July. Same woman. And in order to get by and get anything accomplished, There are certain tasks that I do, certain functions that I do. When certain things break or fall apart or cease, that's my responsibility. It never crosses her mind to do them. That's why. Because in the way we have our marriage ordered, that's my responsibility. Amen? In our marriage, and I understand everybody does it different, and what works for you, that's fine, as long as there's a system there, as long as there's some structure there. I'm not trying to get you to be like me and my wife. I don't think that'll fit most of y'all. But there has to be something between you two to get the job done. Amen? Somebody said one time, the secret to succeeding is dividing the burden by two. And so, in our home, there are certain things that my wife does. They're her duty, they're her responsibility, and it never crosses my mind to do them. If she gets sick, I do that. If for some reason she had to be out of town, I would do it. But under normal circumstances, it's her function. And when she does what she's supposed to do and I do what, everything works great. You have to have that order in your work life and in your social life and in your domestic life if you want it to work. And have you ever noticed that when one side doesn't do what they're supposed to, everything gets out of kilter and everything gets out of whack and you end up fussing and fighting and raising Cain? And what are you fussing and fighting about? Well, because they did this or they didn't do that. Well, they shouldn't have done that, and they should have done this. See, the problem is that the order fell down, the discipline departed, and nobody did what they were supposed to do. And now there's a conflict over it. And then there needs to be order in our spiritual life. You know why some folks get to a certain point and stop and never get anywhere? They get saved, and I believe they're saved. Thank God for it. But they seem to get to a certain plateau and they stop there. And years go by and you don't see any forward progress in them. It shouldn't be that. We say we should always be climbing, pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We ought to be constantly being better Christians, better men and women. We ought to be in the process of being shaped and molded. See what happened? Well, we don't have any discipline. We don't have any order in our spiritual lives. The average Christian reads his Bible when he feels like it. And he reads a little bit or a lot, depending on how much time he has or whether he wants to or not, or whether the passage he's dealing with is interesting or not. He doesn't have a set amount of time to pray or a set place to pray. There's no order. There's no structure in his spiritual life. They may show up at church and they may not. See? Now, the same rules apply to your spiritual life that apply to your work ethic and your social life and all the rest of it. I got it fixed. There's some things in my life that I'm going to do spiritually or religiously. When the church house doors open, I'm going to be there. It's not a matter of praying about it. It's not a matter of if something else gets in the way. It's not a matter if company comes in. I don't give a hoot. My priority is I'm going to church. God's house, I'm supposed to be there. Forsake not the assembling yourself together. And so when the church house doors open, I'm coming. You say, well, what if you've got company from out of town? They can come or they can wait for me to get back. Amen? I'm going. You say, well, what if you're in the middle of a job and you're not quite through and you got the wall half painted and if you don't finish it, it's going to be a mess. Then I'm going to have to come back and sand that down and start over because I'm going to leave it. The discipline in my life says, the commitment in my life says, church 3 times a week, when they open the church house doors, Bob Hensley's going to be there. I'm coming. Amen? I got it fixed in my life. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give 10% or better of my income. I don't have to pray about it. I don't have to worry about whether the bills are going to get paid or not. I don't care if the bills don't get paid. Give them the tithe. I'd rather give to God and rob Sears. I don't want to pay Sears and rob God. Sears can send me a dun. God put me in the hospital. Amen. See? It's a matter of priorities. It's a matter of some discipline. It's a matter of having some order and system in your life. Now, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to church every time the door is open. And I'm not going to let circumstance. If you ever start making allowances for things that get in the way to interrupt your program, you're through. If you say, oh, I got up late this morning, I don't have time to pray. Won't be long, you won't be praying. You know what you say? Well, I got up late and I'm going to be late for work. Okay. Pray and be late. I'd rather be at work late, prayed up, than to be at work on time and not have power of God. Amen. Because the devil knows, the minute you start making exceptions, the minute you let randomness enter your life, the minute you do away with the order and the structure, you're through. Because it will constantly, it will forever be one thing after another until shortly there's no order left in your life. The thing to do is bite the bullet. Do what you're supposed to do. Get that order. Get that structure. Do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. Do it systematically and orderly, just like God wants it done. And persist on that and insist on that. And don't let anything get in the way. And pretty soon it will become a way of life. Maybe a little rough to start, but you can get there. And I declare unto you on the authority of that Bible, when you get your life ordered and structured, you will get more done in every single area of your life. Amen? So, preacher, just if you get all that order and all that structure, it just gets so boring. Okay, here, I've got a plan for you. I got a plan. I love it when a plan comes together. And when I preach, it's always planned. The random things I interject are pre-programmed. I almost never say anything accidentally, even when I make it look accidental. Now, there are some exceptions to that, but as a general rule, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said one time, and I read it and I believed it, and I've been trying to practice it for over 30 years. He said, you keep people's attention with premeditated thoughts. When a guy gets up and preaches and he really hasn't thought about it, it shows that he hasn't really thought about it because he's not going anywhere. There's no order. Amen. You ever listen to them kind of preachers? You know, he said, man, he said a lot of good stuff, but what was the point? Where was he going? Well, he wasn't going anywhere. Now, let me give you a plan. Number one, you ought to write this plan down. This plan will work. If you're one of those people that lack certain amount of discipline or order, structure to your life, write this. This will help you. Number one, Monday through Friday, have a set routine. Get up at a certain time. Go through your routine. Get up. Wash your face. Brush your teeth. Have your prayer time. Eat your breakfast or don't eat your breakfast, whatever you do. Get dressed. Go to work. Get there at a certain time. See? Have just a real set, fixed routine. John sleeping over there? maybe we've interrupted his routine. 5 days a week, have a real structured life. You'll get a lot more done. You say, this afternoon when I get home, I'm cutting the grass. Tomorrow afternoon when I get home, I'm raking the yard. When I get it structured. Get it programmed. Right? Monday through Friday, have a set routine. And go by it. Sunday. Monday through Friday's fixed. Sunday, set routine. I'm going to get up at such and such a time, shave, shower, brush my teeth, have my prayer time, read my Bible, get a hold of God, spend some time alone meditating, turn on the gospel music radio and listen to some good Southern gospel music or whatever, and I'm going to church. And I'm going to make sure my family gets up and they get dressed, and we're going to be at church and we're going to be there in time. Ain't nobody going to wait on us. We're going to drag in at the last minute. And I'm going to do that Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I'm going to have some structure and some order. So Monday through Friday, I've got a set order. Sunday, I've got a set order. Everything's structured. Everything is ordered in my life. Saturday. I know y'all thought I left the day out, see? But I didn't leave anything out. Saturday. What are you going to do on Saturday? Saturday is free for breaking the dullness of routine. Saturday, go play golf. Take your wife shopping. Don't give her any money, but take her. Do something different. Relax. Change the tempo. Amen? Don't have anything that you have to get accomplished on Saturday. Leave Saturday free for messing around or doing oddball things or spontaneous things or just spending the afternoon walking around or taking a nap. Leave Saturday open. Leave it totally random. Do whatever comes up. Make sure that your Saturday is totally different from your weekday routine and your Sunday routine. It's very refreshing. Relax, enjoy yourself. Don't worry about getting too much done. I think way too many people plan way too much stuff for Saturday. So it's the only day I got to get anything done. No, you got the evenings. I wouldn't tie my Saturday up every Saturday. I understand that sometimes you take on a project like Brother Tommy is always rebuilding his house. He's always reinventing it. and sometimes you have to put in some long hours to get that done. But as a general rule, you ought to keep that time open. Just to break the dullness and the deadness of routine, put some freshness and that kind of thing in your life. So why? Because Sunday, we start our routine again. And then Monday through Friday, we're back in our routine again. We're going to get something done. We're going to get something accomplished. We're going someplace. So there's a purpose. There's a reason. There's a goal. There's an objective. And we're going to get there. And to do that, we're going to be ordered and structured and disciplined. Monday through Friday, we're going to be ordered and disciplined on Sunday. Saturday, we kick back a little bit. Now, you know, the Russians tried an experiment some years ago. They tried to work people 7 days a week. And when they did that, here's what they found. That when they worked people 7 days a week, productivity went down. Quality went down. People got in that routine and they were so ordered and they were so structured and there was no variance at all in their life that they became like zombies. They were like mummies. They just performed routinely, but any enthusiasm, any excitement about life or living disappeared. So you know what the Russians did? You know what them crazy communists did? They started giving people 1 day a week off. And on that 1 day, they could do anything. And productivity went back up, and enthusiasm went back up, and production went back up, and quality went back up. Amen. Now, God said, 6 days shalt thou labor. God knew exactly what he's talking about. The way we're made, the way we're structured, you can't maintain that discipline, that straight line kind of a life, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. There's a place in there where you got to take a break, recoup, refresh, restart, and get, and see, but the rest of your life ought to be structured. It ought to be ordered. There ought to be a time to do things, a time to accomplish certain things, a time to be in certain places. There ought to be certain things you're going to do, certain places you're going to go. There ought to be some real structure. There ought to be some real order, morning and evening, day after day. That's the way God operates. That's the way God had the tabernacle set up. That's the way God's got the universe set up. And it's the most productive and the most rewarding and the most fulfilling kind of a life there is. You ever notice that people who don't have an order in their life, who live chaotic lives, are always having to make apologies for why they didn't get something done? Now, I'm 61 years old, and I've worked for several people. I've been on this same job now for, I don't know, 22, 23 years, forever it seems like. And I've never had to come to me and say, how come you didn't get that done? Never in my life. Why didn't you do so-and-so? I'll tell you why. Because it's my job to get done, I get it done. My duty, my responsibility. I'm not going to spend my life making excuses why I didn't get done what I was supposed to do. Dr. Ruckman used to say, a man either does what he's supposed to do or he spends the rest of his life alibying his way out of it. I cannot get done what I'm supposed to do if I don't have a system, if I don't have order, if I don't have structure. And you can't either. But you ever notice that when you do what you're supposed to and you accomplished a lot and somebody's coming and they're looking for this and it's all finished and it looks great or whatever it is, how proud you are? Is it ready or is it finished? Oh, yeah, come on, take a look at it. It's going to knock your eyes out. And you're proud as punch. Why? Because you've done what you're supposed to do. You did it when you were supposed to do it. And you're not having to make excuses to anybody for it. Now, you know what I see in America and in the church in these last days? Less and less order. People's lives are chaotic. They don't know from day to day what they're going to do. They got no system. They got no routine. And they get very little done. And what they could have gotten done for God is going to be minimal. And the only reason they're capable, they have the talent, they have the ability, they even have the desire, they just don't have the structure. We need to develop, need to pray and ask God to help us develop order in our lives. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy.